Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to 17 Questions, the brand new podcast where we ask celebrities, authors, YouTubers and broadcasters 17 random questions you never knew you wanted the answers to. Can you tell us your name and a little bit about yourself?
My full name is Edith Eleanor Bowman Smith, but I'm mostly known as Edith Bowman. And I am, what am I? I'd say I'm a broadcaster. I work across TV, radio, podcasts, trying to find fun things to share with people.
What's the funniest pickup line you've heard?
Oh, here's when people used to use payphones. Here's 50p, go and phone your mum and tell her you're not coming home tonight. Off.
What topic could you spend hours talking about?
I could probably bore people to tears talking about my kids, to be honest, because they're brilliant and they're the thing that I learn most from. So both in terms of being a parent and every day being a kind of learning experience of how to deal with the situation, but also just they remind me about being childlike and remind me about kind of not taking things too seriously and having fun with things as well. And so I could wax lyrical about them. I could also talk all day about Star Wars. So hit me with it.
What's the most ridiculous thing that you've bought?
The most ridiculous thing I've ever bought. I mean, apart from like a house. I mean, I haven't bought a house, but I pay a mortgage on a house. That's ridiculous because it's very grown up. But apart from that, the most ridiculous thing I've ever bought, probably. I was at an auction, this is years ago, I was at an auction for Oxfam with my friend Vicky Taylor, and we had a couple of glasses of wine, and we both bid on these paintings that are made of, from Glastonbury mud, and they're these amazing paintings, and it's of scenes of Glastonbury, but done using the mud from Glastonbury as the paint with colour and stuff in it. And so I kind of, you know, had images of grandeur and was like that, yes, raising my hand and bought one of these paintings, which I see now as an investment. But my friend Vicky, who also bid on one, had the kind of lucky get out clause where she bought it for her boss. So her boss paid for it. And I think it's in her house, though. So she definitely won in that situation.
What horror story do you have from a job that you've had?
Oh, man, so many. So many horror stories. It's not so much a horror story, but I look back on it and going, what were you thinking? So I've done quite a few festivals in my time doing the TV coverage for it and still do it and absolutely love it. But 11 years ago this summer, I was due to do the Glastonbury coverage for the BBC. I was also about to have a baby. And I knew that I had to have a C-section because of this heart thing that I've got. So I knew when I was having Rudy, and it was 10 days before Glastonbury. And my bosses at BBC and my agents both said to me, okay, you don't need to do this. And I was like, no, I know I don't need to do it, but I want to do it. In my head, vocally I'm saying that, but in my head going, I'm definitely doing this. No one else is doing this. I'm doing this kind of thing. And so this little thing who we packed in the car with there was no space for anything else in the car. There was so much stuff in the car. My husband was playing, I was doing a TV present, and my mum was coming down from Scotland to look after Rudy for us whilst I was on telly. We had like a little mini portable fridge so that I could pump milk out my boobs and put it in the fridge so then I could take it home and, you know, my mum could feed him it when I wasn't there. It was a logistical kind of like machine, this thing. And we got there and he'd cried the whole journey from London down to Glastonbury. And Tom had to go and do a rehearsal and a little warm-up show down the road. And so he literally had to dump me at the hotel and go. And I just remember him kind of leaving and stopping and going, "Babe, this is going to be all right." And I was kind of like white and just knackered and going, "What have we done?" And then my mum arriving and everything being okay. And then going and doing telly and kind of just, for anyone who's listening who's been pregnant and has breastfed, they'll know that kind of sensation that you get where you feel like someone is hand pumping each breast up, kind of, but it's the milk filling up and you feel, you can sense and you know that it's about to leak any minute. Sorry for the men or the squeamish listening. But so I was kind of on telly and I go, "Any minute now, guys, any minute it's going to be visible." So going to Sally, who was one of the producers, and she was the one talking in my ear. So I was like, "Sal, we just thrown to a performance." I was like, "Sal, how long are we going to be in this performance for?" She was like, "About 12 minutes. I'm like, "I'll be back in 8. So considering I just had a C-section, we were like 2 floors up on this kind of platform. I kind of waddled down, got in my little porta cabin, got the pumps out, was like, whoosh. So I got the kind of the emergency supply away, got it in my little fridge, and then kind of waddled back upstairs. And I was like, "Okay, great, 2 minutes, there we go, and relax." That was the Chemical Brothers on the other stage. So when I think back about it now, I go, "Oh my God, you absolute mentalist." But also, I'm really glad that we did it. Because I always said that, you know, when we had kids, it was about them becoming part of our life rather than them kind of dictating what we were going to do. So I guess that's the way that we started and the way we continued.
What social stigma does society really need to get over?
I thought of a word for this, actually. So one of the things, because having grown up in a hotel, so I was a waitress, you know, I was doing all that kind of thing. And I hate how people have this immediate kind of reaction to service staff in thinking that they're above them. And it's something that it's a real bugbear with me. Whenever, if I'm out with people and they're in any way, shape or form rude to waiters, waitresses, for no reason, I have to pick them up about it because it's just this really weird kind of, I don't know what the right word is for it, but I think that there's this real big thing where it's just because they're serving you, it doesn't mean to say that you're any better than them. So that's a real bugbear for me.
What always cheers you up when you think about it?
Billy Connolly always cheers me up when I think about him. He's made me laugh. I mean, properly belly laugh where the tears are rolling down my face and my kind of ribs hurt from laughing so much since I was about 12. Probably younger than I should have been watching his stand-up and sketch shows and things like that. But Billy Connolly has always and always will make me laugh. Even just hearing him say one word will put a smile on my face.
If you owned a restaurant, what kind of food would it serve?
Well, you see, I grew up in a hotel environment, so I kind of grew up in that world from a very early age. My granddad had a little hotel in Scotland, and so I was always, you know, in there helping in the kitchen and all that kind of stuff. So I grew up in that world, which is a brilliant environment to grow up in. But I've always had this kind of like pipe dream of having a little coffee shop that also serves like really nice food, but it's also a bookshop and a florist's. I mean, who doesn't like coffee, books and flowers in a one-stop shop? So that's my pipe dream for maybe when I retire.
What was the last photo you took?
The last photograph I took was of my adorable 10-year-old son this morning, Rudy, who is poorly. He's off school today. And he I managed to get him to come downstairs in his pyjamas. And he's 10 and he still likes a kind of, you know, the odd kind of cuddly toy, particularly when he's poorly. So he came downstairs and then he's like, mum, quick. And I went through and he was sat on the couch with a cuddly toy in his pyjamas. So you didn't have his head, but you had the cuddly toy's head. So he was like, "Mum, quick, take a picture." So that was the last picture I took today.
What did you Google last?
Mary J. Blige. I've got her on the podcast. I can't believe she's coming on the podcast. It's mental. She's in this great new Netflix series called Umbrella Academy, and obviously she was in Mudbound as well. And it's wonderful to see someone have a brilliant career into something else. You know, we obviously know her as Mary G. Blige with her an amazing voice and singing. And so I'm really interested to talk to her about how those worlds complement each other, you know, how that experience of being on stage and performing as a singer has helped her, if it has, into that world of acting, and whether music kind of forms part of that preparation for roles and all that kind of thing. So I googled Mary J. Blige just to see if there was anything, you know, of kind of newsworthy that had kind of surfaced recently. Nothing kind of, not headline-y sort of stuff, but more kind of just facts and stuff to fill my brain in preparation for the podcast.
Who would you go out of your way to be nice to?
Everyone. I think it's nice to be nice. It's a lovely feeling to... I mean, I do that thing where I kind of like grin at people on the tube just to try and get a smile out of people. It's treating people the way that you'd want to be treated yourself. So I think that there's no reason... And it takes more energy to be unkind or grumpy or rude to people. So, you know, if you're in a bad mood, fair enough, but don't take it out on other people. So I think that being nice to people is a lovely feeling. It makes you feel good about yourself. So everyone, I hope.
What pointless superpower would you like to have?
I think my the inconsequential superpower I'd love to have is getting my kids out the door in the morning for school. Like being able to kind of go, and then we've done that whole thing where it incorporates eating breakfast, brushing their teeth, getting their shoes on, getting a coat on, bags on the back, boom, we're at the front door. So I just click my fingers and I'll go, right, kids, school time. All that's done in one click of a finger or clap of a hand. Done, boom. Oh man, that would be amazing.
What artist or band do you always recommend when someone asks for a music recommendation?
Well, apart from my husband's band, Editors, obviously, I would say the band that I've recommended to most people would be probably The National, actually. I saw them, it's got to be about nearly 15 years ago now, and they were actually supporting Editors at Manchester, and Tom had said, you've got to go and watch this band, you'll absolutely love them, they're kind of supporting us on this UK tour. So I went up to the balcony and kind of sat like a kind of kid with my chin and my, you know, in the back of my hands over the front of the balcony watching this band. And something kind of physical happened to me in terms of, and I think that that's the great thing about music, when you have an emotional connection to it, it can really almost take control. And so I was kind of just sort of sitting there in floods of tears. Not for being unhappy, just by being completely moved by this performance and this music. So I think that that's probably the band that I've recommended or wanged on about the most.
If you had a giraffe that you needed to hide, where would you hide it?
Hampstead Heath. Hampstead Heath. That's where my giraffe would live. And I'd go and visit him. Or her. Her. Jenny, I'd call her. I'd go and visit her on Hampstead Heath because it's big enough that she could have plenty of space to gallop about in. Loads of great trees for food. And loads of great hiding spots. So, yeah, Jenny would have a right old time of it on Hampstead Heath.
What's the oldest thing you own?
The oldest thing I own is probably... So, my granddad, his sister lived with him, my Auntie Hughes. And she... I remember when I was growing up and stuff, and she would like darn his socks and stuff for him and things like that. My gran unfortunately passed away when my dad was really little, so my granddad moved back up to Scotland with the kids and stayed with family, and so she, you know, helped bring us up and brought my dad up and stuff as well. But I remember she was just this kind of amazing woman, and when she passed away, one of the things that I was lucky enough to be given or ask for, I think I actually asked for it, was two things actually. One was this kind of rain mac thing that she had that I still wear, and the other is her sewing box, and it is absolutely fallen to pieces. Like, it's kind of, the lid falls off and I've got safety pins kind of keeping it together, but I will not buy a new one, I will not throw it away. And it's still got some of her old thread in it, it's still got an old Strepsils tin with buttons and things in it. So it's got to be how old would a granddad be? I mean, she'd be 100 by now, so that's got to be 80 years old. So yeah, and I'm never thrown it away. Never, ever thrown it away.
Who do you wish you could get back into contact with?
I'm pretty good in that I've got a wonderful bunch of friends from home in Scotland, from here in London, and from kind of all over. You know, people move and they kind of end up in different parts of the world and things, but I really try my best. And I do think that that's one of the really positive things about social media, is it's a way that you can reach out to people. So Facebook for me is a great way of keeping in touch with, like, for example, this girl called Claire Roach, who was a researcher on one of the travel shows that I worked on, who we were thick as thieves. You know, she's from Manchester, Lytham St Anne's actually, but she then moved and lives in New Zealand, and so I can kind of keep up and see what she's doing, similarly with me, and then we'll send each other the odd kind of message now and again. And when we were across there about 7 years ago, I kind of told her we were coming and caught up with her, and it was awesome, actually. It was really, really nice. So there's not that many people that I formed friendships with that I haven't kept in touch with. What I would love to do, which isn't really answering the question, but I'd love to do Who Do You Think You Are? Because there's a whole side to my dad's side. So with his mum passing away when he was 3, that I don't really know that side of my kind of past that well. So I'd really like to kind of delve into that and see where it kind of takes me, sort of thing. But I'm pretty good actually at keeping in touch with people. But maybe someone who I haven't heard from in a while, hearing this might go, "Oh, you haven't been in touch in a while, could get in touch." That'd be a nice thing from this, wouldn't it?
Can you tell us about something that you're working on at the moment?
I've got loads of exciting... Well, it's exciting to me, all these things that I'm working on at the minute. I have this podcast called Soundtracking with Edith Bowman, which I launched 2 years ago, because two of my biggest passions are film and music, so I wanted to celebrate both those things. And so we launched the podcast 2 years ago, and it's going great guns. It's very exciting. But then we're also thinking about other ways that we can do things outside the podcast. So we don't want to do anything that messes up the lovely kind of natural, very kind of chilled, relaxed state of the podcast, but thinking of almost arms we can add to it. So we started doing bi-monthly events at the BFI in London South Bank, and we've just confirmed our next guest for the 15th of March is our next event with Andy Serkis and Nitin Soni. So very excited about that. And then another arm to it is I'm going to shoot a pilot, a TV pilot, which is a kind of version of the podcast. So that's pretty much me. I mean, that's only till the first week of March, so it's busy. Thank you very much for listening to 17 Questions with me, Edith Bowman.
Thanks for listening to 17 Questions. If you loved this episode, please subscribe, share, and give us a good rating wherever you downloaded your podcast. Before you go, if you have any questions that you'd love to hear our guests answer, tweet us or drop us a message. It's at 17 Questions across all social. And we'll see you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.